Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, and I am so excited for our guest today. As my listeners and followers know, I am a huge Amelia Earhart fan. I even named my angel Amelia back in 1996 when my mother asked me the name of my angel. And Amelia Earhart, everyone knows, is an international aviatrix, was a legend in the United States. But did you know we have a modern-day Amelia, and her name is Amelia Rose Earhart, and she is calling in today from the Women in Aviation Conference. I think it's happening in Texas. I want to welcome to the program Amelia Rose Earhart. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, it's so fun to be at a busy Women's Aviation Conference like this. We've been absolutely swamped.
Are you in Texas?
We are in Dallas, Texas, and it's perfect timing because it's actually International Women in Aviation Week, so we're celebrating all over the world.
Oh, my goodness. And it's Women's History Month, and so there's just a lot of things that we're celebrating this month. And Sunday is International Women's Day that the United Nations has designated, and I know Zonta clubs around the world are honoring women with yellow roses. We'll be doing that in every state here in the United States. Amelia Earhart was a member of Zonta. I'm not sure if you are. Are you a member of Zonta International?
You know what? I'm an honorary member of Zonta because I've spoken to their clubs and organizations all over the country, and I've always been just welcomed with open arms. It's such a great group.
Excellent. Well, that's good to know. And, I mean, you have been such a busy person. You have a background and a professional career in news coverage, traffic, and weather, and in my old former hometown of Denver, Colorado. Are you still working in television?
You know, I'm actually not. But for 10 years, I was a news anchor and a meteorologist, and I was lucky enough to work in a news helicopter, of all places, covering the traffic and breaking news. But since the flight around the world, I've actually left television news, and I've been working on a multitude of projects. But the most important, and of course near and dear to my heart, is my Fly with Amelia Foundation, where we help young women aged 16 to 18 get their pilot's licenses all over the country. And that's been such a joy. So I've transferred out of TV, and I'm working in the nonprofit world.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's the world I come from. So are you speaking at the Women in Aviation Conference taking place this week?
I definitely am tomorrow. We're going to talk about the flight around the world, talk about some of the challenges and some of the effort that went into such a big trip, you know, 28,000 miles through 14 countries over 18 days and all the planning and coordination that goes into that. But really talk about the bigger picture of achieving your personal adventure, just defining what that is and making it come true, you know, while you've got the energy and enthusiasm to do it.
I love that. And that's a theme we talk about a lot here on Alive to Thrive. And I took my big adventure last year and went to Africa, but there are many more adventures to come. But let's talk about your personal story. So your parents, blessed with the Earhart name, have you ever traced your tree, your family tree, back to Amelia, the original Earhart family tree?
I have really done a lot of genealogical research throughout my life. But what we found is that while we don't share a bloodline with Amelia, we still share the same last name. And what that gave me the opportunity to do was really define my relationship with Amelia. So while I'm not related to her, I feel so connected in terms of the passion that we both share for flying and adventure and also helping other women achieve their dreams. And so for me, you know, I used to hate the name growing up. I got teased, just like every little kid does, for being named Amelia Earhart. But what I decided to do with it once I was about 21 years old is, you know what, take a flight lesson, see if I like it, see if I could turn it into something bigger than just having a namesake. And fortunately, I fell in love with flying, and boy, my feet haven't touched the ground since.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that is really funny about being given that name and not liking it. Because kids, we are funny about that when we're little. I know I had the middle name of Annette, and I was like, you know, what does that mean? But so when you were little, did your parents give you books about Amelia or dolls, or what were your earliest memories of learning about the legend Amelia?
You know, my parents probably took the best approach that they could have ever done. They didn't force me into aviation or tell me you should be a pilot or we're going to take you out to the airport and get you a flight lesson. What they did was they showed me Amelia's life through books and through just talking about what she did during her lifetime, and they kind of left the door open for me if I wanted to fly. And so, thank goodness, what I did was at 21, I saved up about, and from then on out, it was all about a true passion. It wasn't just an obligation from being named Amelia Earhart. I actually enjoyed it. So, yes, I spent my whole life learning about her. I get books and, you know, little mementos and trinkets from people, total strangers all over the world who have admired Amelia through the years. And I've just been blessed in that way to be so connected to her through so many different people.
That's so funny. And you know, this is how bad my Amelia passion, how deep it runs. So when I was living in Washington, D.C., making very little money working for nonprofits, I found a $100 bill on the National Mall, you know, in front of the Smithsonian. And what did I do? I went directly to the Air and Space Museum and went to their gift shop and spent all $100 on books about Amelia.
Oh,
that's
my God.
That I had it. But, you know, and I never knew or thought I would be living in the Midwest and within driving distance of her birthplace in Atchison, Kansas. And I just recently got an email from a woman who's a 99 member, which is the Women Pilots Association, for those listening and not knowing. The 99s was a group that Amelia Earhart was a member of when it first started, was the first president of that. And so this board member contacted me, ironically, this week to tell me that they're doing a little fundraising drive for the birthplace home, which is an older historic house, but, you know, it needs a lot of repairs, and they have many, many artifacts. Have you had the chance to get there and visit in person?
Definitely. I've been there many times, and luckily I have been just totally embraced by the community there in Atchison, Kansas, at Amelia Earhart's birthplace. I go out every year for the Amelia Earhart Festival, and it's a place you have to stop and see, because, you know, that's where this little adventurous girl grew up. That's where her roots were born. And, you know, she lived on this beautiful hillside overlooking the river by a, you know, huge bridge. And you can just imagine as a little girl, her sitting out there in that front yard and dreaming of the big things that she would do. And we really do need to keep that place alive, because that's the spot that we can take our kids, and even us as adults can go there to get inspired about our biggest dreams.
And certainly in this day of modern technology and modernization with different tools that we have available, I'm glad that they are doing this campaign on GoFundMe, because we're able to share it through social media and get the word out. So If you want to support the Amelia Earhart Birthplace Museum, you can go to GoFundMe, just like it sounds, GoFundMe.com, and search for the Amelia Earhart Birthplace Museum. I also put a link on that about that on my Facebook page, Alive to Thrive. So check that out, and if you can throw $10 that way, that would be awesome. So Amelia, so you were in broadcast journalism, and you know what drew you into that field originally?
Well, when I was, I think, a junior in college at CU Boulder in Colorado, I was studying English literature, and I took my very first flight lesson, like I said, and at the time, I was waiting tables, and I had gone to work the day after that very first lesson, and I just had this big smile on my face. I had one couple that would come in every Wednesday. They always had lobster. They always ordered the same thing, and said, you know, what's different about you today? What's going on? And I said, well, I've never told you guys this, but my name is Amelia Earhart. I just took my first flight lesson, and I think I want to be a pilot. Well, one thing led to the next. I was actually talking to the dean of students there at CU. So she passed my story on. That ended up getting picked up in the campus press and then eventually the national news, et cetera, et cetera. And when I finally went to a local radio station in Denver, News Radio 850 KOA, I did an interview, and at the end of that, they actually offered me a job. And I think
wow.
that the news director picked up on my passion and my enthusiasm, and I think she said, you know what, let's take a chance. Well, that led to me working in a news helicopter. That eventually led to me working in television news in the helicopter. And, you know, everybody always says it's a long story, but everybody's career usually is. But you couldn't turn down an opportunity like that. And so ended up doing TV news for about 10 years. And, you know, I may get back into it someday. But for right now, my passion is all about flight.
Did you have any, you know, close encounters in the air in the news helicopter?
No, we had a really safe run. And, you know, it was, gosh, I was up there for about 4 years in the helicopter and then eventually moved into studio. But we had a safe helicopter. I had an incredible pilot with me, Jimmy Negri, and perfect safety record the whole time. So I'm very fortunate for that.
Fantastic. And what were some of your memorable stories that you covered while
gosh,
in Denver?
You know, with the helicopter, it was so unique because you're always the first to arrive because you can get there so much faster in the air than you can on the ground with a news truck or a news van. So for me, I really remember, gosh, you know, the breaking news stories with either a terrible car crash where someone's getting airlifted and taken to the hospital and then eventually makes it, or, you know, maybe a river rescue. Those really incredible situations where we get to watch our first responders show up and take charge and save people's lives. And that's what we were witnessing from up there. Forest fires and floods, just incredible stories. But the best is always when we can follow through and find out what happens after the breaking news, you know, find out how people recover and what they move on to do next.
Well, there's a woman here in St. Louis. I don't know if you've ever met or heard of Sue Mathias. She was the first female helicopter pilot here in St. Louis for the news for the news station, and
She's
a member of the local 99 chapter. You'll probably meet her when you're here in St. Louis. I do want to make a plug for that. So Amelia will be at the St. Louis Science Center Planetarium on March 14th. She'll be the keynote speaker for St. Louis Flight Instructors Association, also known as GSL. FIA, there's always these long acronyms, but it's only $35. And one of the things that the local St. Louis chapter of the 99s is doing, which is so neat, is that they're sponsoring a couple of young women to come to that dinner and meet Amelia, be inspired. One young lady I happen to know, her dad is a helicopter pilot, and my life partner is a helicopter pilot and is going into medevac starting on Monday, actually, but was in law enforcement aviation for 20-some years. And, you know, that's just been really neat for me to kind of live vicariously through her. But, you know, maybe it's not too late for me, but, you know, at any age, there are women going into aviation, and I love that you're inspiring young girls. You've got, I'm sure, have met many of the young women who have received scholarships. Tell us a story about some of the young women, a particular one that may stick out in your mind that has received a scholarship and how she's doing with that.
Sure, absolutely. In fact, two of my scholarship recipients have just walked up to the booth here at the Women in Aviation Conference in Dallas and said, Amelia, thank you so much. I've been waiting to meet you. You know, I'm flying. I'm loving the process. I'm getting up there, you know, once or twice a week, and it's really going smoothly. And it's just, it's fun for me because the reason that I stuck with girls ages 16 to 18 is because at that point in our lives, we've got all the energy and enthusiasm to do whatever it takes to accomplish a goal. But it's such a good reminder for that women, as we get older, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, we can still get out there and have that same energy and enthusiasm. And it may not come as naturally, but if we create it and we make it happen, we can achieve the exact same goals that we wanted to when we were younger. And so these girls that are flying, they don't always have the financial resources to go out and do so. So we're helping them with the cost. But they're going out there, and they are living their dreams. They're flying all over the country. The Fly with Amelia Foundation now has 11 women flying all over the U.S. And then this weekend at the conference in St. Louis, we're going to be giving out discovery flights to a number of the young girls that are attending. So they'll get out there and take their very first flight lesson, hopefully within the next month or so.
You mean in Dallas?
We're going to be giving the scholarships out in St. Louis.
Oh, on March 14th when you're here.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. And St. Louis, as we all know, has a long history with aviation and Lindbergh and all that. Is this your first time coming to St. Louis?
It's my first time coming to St. Louis, and I'm so excited. I've been working with the folks who have been helping to put the event together, and they've just made it such a nice, easy process. So I'm working on my speech, and it's going to be, you know, different and engaging than all the rest. I never do the same talk twice. So we'll show brand new pictures, never before seen photos from the flight around the world, and really talk about some of the intricacies behind planning a global journey like that, because there's a lot of things that people don't think about. You've got overflight permits. You've got visa applications for 14 different countries, political instability issues as you fly through Africa and the Middle East. So we'll talk about all that, plus show off the really beautiful parts as well.
Well, fantastic. And, you know, I want to just give out that website. It's GSLFIA.com. And right on the homepage for the Greater St. Louis Flight Instructors Association, you will see the flyer for the St. Louis Aviation Awards Banquet, March 14th, 7 p.m. at the James S. McDonnell Planetarium. And there's a beautiful picture of Amelia there and all the different sponsors and how to get tickets to that event. I don't think it's sold out yet, but you might be able to still get in. But we jumped ahead, and probably some of my listeners have not heard in detail about your flight. So you were the second youngest person, is that correct, to fly, circumnavigate the globe?
I'm the youngest woman to fly around the world in a single-engine airplane.
Oh, so the youngest, it is the youngest woman. Okay, so the youngest woman to fly around the world in a single-engine aircraft. And tell us your choice of the aircraft. It was a Pilatus, is that how you say it, PC-12?
Yeah, you said that just right. It's a Pilatus PC-12NG, which is a single-engine turboprop aircraft, and it's powered by a Pratt & Whitney PT-6 engine, which is one of the safest and most reliable engines in the world. And I was able to fly it for about 2,500 nautical miles without stopping. But the way that we are able to do that is by putting an extra fuel tank on board the plane. So we put 200 gallons of extra fuel inside the cabin, and that got us along some of those longer ocean crossings, because I was able to recreate my namesake's flight almost identically to her route around the globe.
Wow. And so how many months did it take to plan the flight? And I mean, what was going through your mind? Let's talk about planning first, you know, and fundraising. I mean, that must have cost quite a pretty penny to do this flight. How long did it take you to raise the money?
You know, it took about a year and a half to plan and fund the flight. I was lucky to have about 21 sponsors on the trip, and not just, you know, hey, here's some cash, go fly around the world. It was, you know, we're using great products and innovative systems to safely fly around the globe. For instance, not a lot of people know that Honeywell Aerospace designed the cockpit in the PC-12. So all of the beautiful digital displays, the synthetic vision, the GPS on board the aircraft, all of that comes from specific groups who really wanted to put what I like to call a good news aviation story back in the news. You know, we see a lot of tales of crashes and disappearances and pilot shortages and all this negativity around aviation. I wanted to change the perception of flight in the news so that little kids, as they're turning on the news in the morning with mom and dad, go, I want to find out where Amelia is, not just another aviation story that puts us in a bad light. So luckily, all 21 sponsors were there to help make it happen, but it did take quite a while.
Oh, my goodness. And are your parents still living? Are they still with us?
Yeah, definitely. My dad, Glenn, and my mom, Debbie. And, you know, they got divorced right after I was born, so I've never really known them together. But I will say that the flight really brought me closer to my parents than I've ever been before, because a lot of times they were helping in the process. You know, I'd call my dad up for advice, or I'd ask my mom to say, help me with some of the research. And it was so fun that when I finally landed back in Oakland after flying the 28,000-mile journey, to look out the window and see both my mom and my dad standing there on the tarmac waiting for me to arrive. And, you know,
oh,
both of them
God.
Are absolutely crying. And it was a really emotional experience. So it was a meaningful way to show them, you know, how grateful I was that they took a risk in naming their daughter Amelia Earhart.
Oh, that is so, I got goosebumps. And what was the reaction in some of the countries, you know, parts of Africa or, you know, different parts of the world when they learned you were coming to their country?
So it was different in every location. Most responses were positive. In Senegal, for instance, when we landed in Dakar, we had a huge reception with some government officials, beautiful women who run women's leadership organizations there in Africa, who showed up in these beautiful white gowns, and they brought children with them who were carrying these big bouquets of flowers with a lot of media coverage, you know, because that's one of the spots that Amelia originally landed on her flight around the world. Some places closer towards the South Pacific, say Papua New Guinea, you know, they're not used to seeing women involved in aviation. And so for them to see a woman like me pop out of an airplane, even though it's all planned out paperwork-wise, I think it caught them a little off guard. So we had to deal with 4 or 5 hours worth of customs, ended up paying a little bit more cash to get out, and, you know, it's all part of the story. So, and the story, of course, is going in my book, and I just got that first draft done, and so hopefully within the next year or so, you'll see the book with the full story.
Oh, here's the scoop. So what's the title of your new book?
It's still a work in progress, the title is, but I'm more working on the real body and the passion behind the flight and why we did it. So titles yet to be
awesome.
Found, but trust me, when you see a book by Amelia Earhart out there, it'll be easy to find.
Awesome. And so that's due out in 2016?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, we'll have to make sure we have you back on Alive to Thrive to talk about that. And you do a lot of speaking around the country. You're a public speaker that's, I'm sure, very much sought after. And you have several themes to some of your talks. And I love this one, Don't Quit on Your Daydream, how idle moments can lead us to passionate pursuits. I mean, that is just so incredible. And I'm talking about that often to women, to not live a small life, but to, if they hate their job or they hate their boss or they, whatever, they're just dead inside, that they can change it up at any time. And that's why I called the program Alive to Thrive. I survived a car crash, and I truly believe that we should be living our passionate purpose every day. So talk to us a little bit about that. What's your advice for women in terms of pursuing their daydreams and making them into real life dreams?
So the reason that I like to use the phrase don't quit your daydream is because we spend a lot of time working, planning big projects, working on idle tasks around the house, but we find ourselves daydreaming about the things that we want to do, whether it's starting a new business, going back to school, whether it's flying around the world, having a child, whatever it is, we daydream a lot when we're doing things that we don't necessarily want to pour our hearts completely into. And what I found is that when I was working back at the TV station, I would find myself in between reports imagining what this flight around the world would be like. I'm talking what it would feel like to cross the Atlantic Ocean for the first time between Brazil and Africa, what it would feel like to cross over India and make my way into Singapore and have the Indian Ocean on both sides. You know, what would that feel like? What would that look like if I could ever accomplish that goal? And so I tell people, don't quit your daydream, because oftentimes idle moments where our mind slips to is really a key and a hint to where our true passions are. And if we follow them, we're going to find ourselves some grand adventures. But if we ignore them, I think it just leads to general unhappiness. And the other women like you that I've talked to that have really gone for it, they think they are optimists. They're happy. They're laid back. They really encourage other women, especially, to succeed as well.
I love it. And I think it's the important aspect of visualization. And it was only when I closed my eyes and literally visualized myself standing on the tarmac or with my luggage packed, heading to that plane to go to Africa, that I started taking the steps and the actions started falling into place of making it a reality. So it's that visualization. So I want to ask you, do you practice any type of meditation practice or, do you believe in the law of attraction or any of those things? What's your daily kind of practice with that?
You know, definitely visualizing the trips I want to take, the time spent in the cockpit, the different people that I want to speak to, that is a huge way in association with how I see the world. But my biggest practice daily is a lot of yoga. I do a lot of hot yoga, and there is a meditational factor to all of that. And what I found is that in the final few minutes of that class, when you're in, you know, your final pose, just letting your mind wander and daydreaming about that process, like we just talked about, and taking those daydreams into the rest of your day and not letting it only happen when you're in that totally focused moment, you're completely exhausted, but taking those thoughts and incorporating them into what most people call real life. But I try to keep that going throughout the day.
I love it. Well, we're going to take a short break, just a couple of minutes for station identification and a little message. Stay with us as we continue our conversation with Amelia Rose Earhart, who was the youngest woman to circumnavigate the globe in 2012, and she's calling in from the Women in Aviation Conference down in Dallas, Texas, and she'll be coming to St. Louis on March 14th. So stay with us as we return with this dynamic interview. So we'll be right back.
Feeling overwhelmed by branding and marketing your business and yourself? Well, we have found a solution, Social Zing. Social Zing is a leading-edge technology that is leading the way on online marketing. So we are offering an opportunity for you to be a free guest at the first ever Midwest Regional event on Saturday, March 7th from 10 to 11:30. To find out more, simply text the word, all together, Alive to Thrive. You're going to send that to 60637. So once again, go to your phone right now. Go to the message system in the 2-box. 60637. In the message box, all one word, don't let spell check fool you, Alive to Thrive. See you Saturday. Become a zinger.
Have you heard of Modair yet? Modair is a new online retail brand for today's modern shopper. We bring stylish, safe, exclusive products for everyday living. At Modair, things are different. We hold ourselves to a higher standard of being modern, accessible, and ahead of the curve. Modair offers ultra-premium products such as hair care, skin care, and household essentials at crazy affordable prices. Most importantly, Modair's products are safe and non-toxic. In fact, Modair makes some of the safest and most effective clean label products on the market today. With free shipping on most orders, a 30-day money-back guarantee on all products, and huge discounts for repeat customers, trying Modair truly is a win-win. Go to Modair.com right now. That's M-O-D-E-R-E.com. Again, that's M-O-D-E-R-E.com. And use the promo code THRIVE for savings up to $25 off your first order. Again, it's M-O-D-E-R-E.com, and use the promo code THRIVE. You'll love the free shipping and the big savings off all the products you desire for a modern life. Modair, we are stylish, safe, smart.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser on GGM. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, and our guest today is Amelia Rose Earhart, the youngest woman to fly around the world in a single-engine aircraft. And We're talking about all things related to aviation and pursuing your dreams. Amelia has been a passionate aviator since her first flight lesson at the age of 21. I love it. And, you know, one of her speaking topics as a professional speaker is crafting your identity after defeat. And I love this topic because I talk a lot about resiliency on this program and bouncing back after, you know, different things that happen to us. All of us have challenges that face us in our professional careers, our personal lives. So, Amelia, tell us a little bit about this topic and why you're passionate about it, and what was your challenge that you had to bounce back from?
Absolutely. So, having the name Amelia Earhart obviously comes with its own set of challenges. It's not all just, you know, flying around the world and helping other people learn to fly. But for the first 30 years of my life, my parents had thought, because of oral tradition in our family, that we were somehow distantly related to the first Amelia Earhart. And when I announced my flight around the world, that's what I thought as well, because I had hired a genealogist in college to go and do the research for me to find a connection. And what she found was a distant common ancestry traced back to the 1700s. Well, that turned out not to be the case. And I learned that about 6 months before departing on the flight around the world. And when that happened, I had a really difficult decision to make, because I was getting a lot of criticism from all over the world saying, well, if you're not related to Amelia, you don't deserve to do this flight. Lot of negativity on social media, just pure hatred coming out in really strange ways.
Gosh.
Going through this process, my dad asked me the most important question of all. He said, honey, so I know we're going through this together. You know, we're going to get through it. He said, but I'm going to ask you one thing. He said, when you were born, did the FAA walk into that delivery room and give you your pilot's license just because we named you Amelia Earhart? And I said, no. He said, that's the point. You have done all of the same hard work as every other pilot at your level has gone out and done. He said, so you absolutely must complete this flight. This is your passion. It doesn't matter who you're related to. Heck, it doesn't even matter what your name is. He said, you were born to do this just like she was. And so what I did was, you know, I had a choice. It was either give up or take on the flight in an unprecedented way and go and do it as big as I possibly could. So luckily, that added a whole new layer to the trip. It was more about picking up where Amelia left off. It was all about taking the flight to the next level, symbolically completing that flight for her, but also having my own personal adventure and showing girls that their adventure is all what they make it to be. It doesn't matter who you're related to, what your name is, where you come from. You can craft your own identity if you're willing to do the hard work that it takes to get there.
Mm. And so what are the sacrifices you've had to make to pursue your dream? Have there been some personal sacrifices on your personal life? You know, you live a very public life, on the road a lot.
I definitely do. There's, if you do want to go out and do big things, you have to be able to handle the fact that not everyone's always going to agree with what you're doing. Not everyone's going to see the value in it. So you have to develop a really tough skin around that. But really, before the flight for that year and a half, there was a lot to give up. You know, there was a lot of late nights and saving every last penny to make the trip happen. So there were, you know, minor sacrifices with social life and possibly, you know, building a relationship. Or it was really hard to give up my time to others, I should say, when I was building the charity, when I was planning the flight around the world. So now that it's done, I'm trying to make up for that. But
okay.
You know, you have to remember that your personal mission, not everyone's always going to support it, but those who do, you know, you want to keep them close.
That is such another good point about having your support system in place, whether it's a mastermind type group or just people that believe in your dream and say yes to your dream and keep encouraging you and cheering you on, because there are challenging days. No matter how optimistic any of us are, there are setbacks. There are all sorts of challenges. So tell us about how social media played a role in your global flight.
Social media was probably the most important part of the flight around the world, because this is the world's first socially documented trip around the globe. When you look at the flights around the world that have taken place in the past, you know, social media wasn't a big player because it just wasn't as popular. But now at this point, I was able to take a handheld GPS device on the aircraft with me. I used the hashtag FlyWithAmelia during the whole trip, And now that's a way for women to connect with the trip, for young men to connect with the trip, whoever it may be, but to follow that hashtag and say, start to finish, here's how the mission went. And it was great because, you know, along the way, you kind of wonder, is anybody following? Have they forgotten that we even left? And what I was able to do was get online and connect with folks all around the world who were cheering me on, saying, this is great. This is such a great idea. You're inspiring my daughter. You're inspiring my mother, whoever it may be. And to see that positive feedback and see the pictures that people were taking of their computer screens as they tracked the flight around the world, it was really motivating. It was really affirming that this trip needed to happen, and it needed to happen at this point when social media is such a huge part of everybody's lives.
I love that because, oh my God, Amelia had, the first Amelia had George Putnam, as we all know. And who knows if we would have ever known about Amelia if George wasn't, you know, fanning the PR machine and firing it up. And I know she wasn't really seeking the limelight as much as he was promoting her as a celebrity back then. But the fact that you were able to do your own social media and have control over that and control of the message is amazing to me because, I mean, your background in broadcast journalism and then your aviation skills and your sense of adventure all combined into one person. I mean, I'm just in awe of the combination. anyway, so tell us a little bit about defining your own true north. This is another one of your great speaking topics. It's something that I think it's Martha Beck, is that her name, that writes a lot in Oprah Magazine, and she wrote a book, I think, called Finding Your True North. But, you know, the beauty of finding uncharted territory and going where no one has gone before. Tell us a little bit about that theme.
I chose that theme of defining your own true north is that the beauty and sort of the mystery around every old school compass that you find in an airplane is that every compass reads slightly differently towards true north. And that's such a metaphor for the way that we live our lives. You know, not everybody feels that the same path is exactly what they should be taking. And, you know, you can't just walk onto somebody else's heading and follow it and expect the same results. But there's something called deviation with a compass. And it's when other metal things in the airplane pull a compass off course and they make it have that unique reading. Well, we've all got these different distractions in our life, different reasons for having a unique heading and a reading all of our own. So when we talk about True North, it's about deciding where you want to go, knowing that there will be deviations along the way, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be a straight line. You know, a lot of people expect their life story to be A to Z. I wanted to do this, A, so Z ended up with total success. But the real beauty in the story is B to Y, you know, how those letters are arranged each individually for every single person out there. And the real story, the parts that we tell, you know, years from now, isn't just the success without the challenges, it's the obstacles along the way. And those are the things that we really have to seek beauty in because they don't feel good at the time, but when you look back in hindsight, the greatest stories in history have so many challenges, and that's why we use them as examples.
Wow. I just love that. And so who are some of the people from history that continue to inspire you, either biographies you've read or people from men or women? Women, let's just talk about women from history. I mean, are there particular women that you felt inspired by when you were in college or just recently?
Definitely. And, I mean, Amelia, obviously, would be the first because she was such a big part of my life. But one woman in particular that not a lot of us know who she is Jerry Mock. And Jerry Mock was a pilot back in the 1960s she was a housewife at the time. She learned how to fly, saved up enough money to do it. And she was actually the very first woman in the world to ever successfully fly around the globe. And she didn't follow Amelia's route, but she was sort of known as the second sort of unnamed Amelia Earhart. She returned from her flight after several months of flying around the globe. She did it solo. And she was the first one to do that. And I got a really incredible gift right before the flight around the world. A copy of Jerry's book, 3-8 Charlie, was sent to me. And when I opened it up, I realized that book had been signed by Jerry Mock herself. And she said, she said, your wonderful enthusiasm will carry you around the globe over mysterious oceans. She said, you'll meet the most incredible people with different ways of life. Soak it all up. Remember every memory. And she signed it Jerry Mock. And I carried that book around the world with me. I read it in my idle moments up in the plane when the autopilot was on. And it was like I was reading a real-time description of the flight that I was doing in 2014, even though she did her flight in 1960-something. Now, the real interesting thing is that when I returned from the flight around the world, I had so many thank yous to write. You know, I had so many people to connect with and show appreciation for the gifts that they had sent and the sentimental items that they had brought. And Jerry Mock passed away just a few weeks after my flight around the world was completed, and I never got to send that thank you note. So it's such a good reminder that when people do incredible things for you, send the note immediately.
Oh, my gosh. And the name of that book again is?
It's called 38 Charlie, which was the 38 Charlie, yeah, the name of her aircraft.
38 Charlie. Okay, 38 Charlie. We should look for that book. And, that's amazing. And so, I mean, and the fact that she died right after you got back, I mean, that's just an incredible thing. And that those words kept you company along the flight. And even though, that's just really powerful.
Can I share one more quick story about another sentimental part of the flight? And I think that you'll appreciate this and your listeners will as well. On the departure date of June 26th, my mom was there. My dad was there. It seemed like the whole media world was there. We had CNN. We had NBC. We had the Nightly News covering the flight. It was incredible. Well, I was getting ready to jump on the airplane, and there was a little old man named Captain Tinerello who was standing out at the aircraft, just kind of in the crowd. He was wearing his full military uniform, and he stood about 4'11", very old man in his late 80s. And he came up to me, and he handed me a patch. And he had one in his hand, and he had one for me. And he said, Amelia, I need you to carry this patch. And he had Amelia Earhart written on it. He said, carry it around the world. When you get back, I want to swap patches. So I'll give you mine. You give me yours. And I said, absolutely. So 28,000 miles later, I returned from the flight around the world. And there's Captain Tinerello standing next to my mom and my dad. And so after I said my hellos to my parents and you know, all the hugs and crying, I walked over to him as the media was just, you know, storming me for interviews. And I said, you know, here's your patch. And he said, Amelia, thank you so much. You know, we swapped. And he said, what I didn't tell you is that in 1937, I stood in this exact same spot because I had begged my parents as a little boy of about 6 years old to take me out to the airport because I wanted to see Amelia Earhart depart on her around the world flight. So 77 years later, he got to see Amelia Earhart return back in a different form with that same sense of passion. And he leaned in and he gave me a big hug and he was carrying this big bouquet of red roses. He said, you just brought Amelia Earhart back to me.
Oh,
my
God.
And that is what his flight was all about.
Oh, my God. That is an incredible story. And, I mean, I think that's what finding out about you did for me as well because – I mean, it just is incredible that you did this journey, that you have this nonprofit organization, that you're telling your story, all of the different things that you do as a person, and like you said, like your father said, independent of your name. But the fact that you were able to complete that mission to prove that a woman could do it. So speaking about the original Amelia, what is your belief about her disappearance? I know I had a Jerry Jarenka. I don't know if you've met her. She was on the program a year or two ago. She went to the island in the Pacific where they think they found some traces of possibly Amelia having gone down near this island. Have you followed that project? And what are your personal thoughts about her final place?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different theories around Amelia, whether she was captured, whether she crashed in the ocean, whether she lived on a small island. Howland Island was the area where she intended to land after Papua New Guinea, but a lot of the search has been done around Nikumaroro Island. I follow all the groups, but as her namesake, I have to be completely honest. I don't focus on her disappearance and her death. I focus on exactly what Amelia was in charge of, which was her life while she was living. Flying around the world, completing that mission, being a good role model. So I'll let others focus on what happened at the end of her life. I want to focus and celebrate on what she did while she was still living. And that's my take. And I get asked almost on a daily basis, what do you think happened to her? And personally, That's not the best part about her. The best part is what she
right.
did back in the 1930s.
Awesome. Oh, excellent. And one of the best parts about what you've done is set up this foundation. Again, we want to make sure people know about this, the Fly with Amelia Foundation, and that you can text the word Amelia to 71777. Again, you can take out your phones right now and in the two box, type in the number 71777, and in the message box, type the word Amelia. And Amelia, tell us what that will do. How much donation does that create for the foundation?
Well, thank you so much for bringing that up. Yes, all the donations that you can text to go to the Fly with Amelia Foundation. And that's a nonprofit 501c3 set up here in Colorado, but I'm able to grant flight training scholarships to young women aged 16 to 18 all across the country. Now, those funds also go to the development of STEM-based curriculum that goes into the classroom for boys and girls, and that's at every age level. We're talking kindergarten all the way through high school so that teachers can take aviation into the classroom in a really accessible way because it's an intimidating topic. It's definitely technical, and you want to make sure you get it right. And so what we're doing is taking away some of the stress for teachers and allowing them to use our curriculum in the classroom. Right now, I've got 11 girls flying all across the U.S. who are working towards their private pilot's license, and they're able to get through that before they even go to college. And if you can imagine being a 18-year-old girl walking in for a job interview or a college interview or applying to, you know, be a part of some club or organization, and people say, well, what are your interests? And a young woman of that age has the confidence and the ability to say, I'm a pilot. That's going to help her stand out from the crowd in so many ways. Because as pilots, we learn all sorts of great things that we can take through the rest of our lives: responsibility and determination, the ability to plan, the ability to execute, the ability to save our own lives every single time we land an airplane. So I'm trying to hand those skills off to these young girls to create really strong leaders going forward.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I know Zonta International has an Amelia Earhart Fellowship postgraduate scholarship that they have been awarding for many years, and some of those young women are going on to work at NASA and all kinds of incredible, incredible things. And so if people want to know more about that, they can go to Zonta.org, Zonta.org, and look up the Amelia Earhart grants that they do. So you're very active on social media and want to make sure people know your Twitter address is @Amelia_Earhart. And, I mean, are you tweeting frequently every day? How often do you spend on social media daily?
Social media is a big part of my life, absolutely. So every day, whatever adventure I'm on, whether it's, you know, at home cooking or it's offline an airplane over an ocean or if it's being somewhere here at the Women in Aviation Conference, you know, there's life is an adventure if you decide it to be that way. So it's not always airplanes, but it's about that optimistic way of looking at the world. And so, yes, social media every day, Twitter, just search Amelia Rose Earhart. Same with Facebook, same with Instagram. And you'll find some pretty compelling stories there. And I love to share other stories of women and men out there doing great things. So it's either adventurous or optimistic. Those are the two qualifications to make it get on my social media channels.
I love it. And speaking of social media, we're hosting a Midwest regional event, the first one here in the Midwest. It's a company called Social Zing, Social and then Z-I-N-G. The founder of that company will be in from Pennsylvania tomorrow, March 7th, at the Wyndham by Wingate in St. Charles County, Missouri. So I want to give a shout-out to that, and if people want to know more, they can text the word Alive to Thrive to 60637 to learn more about that. So we're just wrapping up. We have just a few minutes left and wanted to make sure that we covered everything you wanted to cover. You know, the one thing we didn't talk about, and I was curious to ask you about your involvement with Wings Over the Rockies, the Air and Space Museum in Denver, Colorado. Such an incredible, beautiful museum. I've been there. I loved what you did at the holidays and got one of the planes wrapped up with Christmas white lights. That's just an amazing accomplishment. It must have looked beautiful. Tell us about your involvement there.
Sure. Yeah, Wings Over the Rockies is one of my favorite places in the world. It's a great place for kids to come and get hands-on, get close to the airplanes, look in the cockpit, use some flight demonstrators there. You can do flight simulators. What we do at Wings is provide educational opportunities for people of all ages, but not only the past of aviation, we're talking past, present, and future. So I'm on the board of directors there, and I work with an incredibly passionate group of people who just want to see the aviation community continue to grow and thrive, because there's so little interest right now, seemingly, from the general public, you know, about getting into aviation. So we want to remind people about the magic and the mystery of flight and bring it back in a way that is tied to education but also has that inspiring factor to it as well. So Wings Over the Rockies, they're also on social media. We've got our Kids Day presentations coming up in March. We've got summer camps, and we stay active all year long. And one of the coolest things that you can see at Wings is that we've got an X-Wing from Star Wars in the museum, and it's one of the only ones in the world.
Wow. That's very cool. And there are some wonderful aviation museums around the country. I've been to some of them, and one is in North Carolina, one's in Ohio. Those are two that come to mind. But have you been pretty much to all of them, or are you getting invitations to speak at them for their annual dinners, or do they know about
definitely.
You?
Absolutely. In fact, we just did a great presentation at the Frontiers of Flight Museum here in Dallas. They had their annual Engineers Week, where I had the chance to speak to 200 girls all at once about the flight around the world. And boy, we took a lot of selfies that day. It was great. We were able to speak with their veterans groups, and I come back on a regular basis here to Dallas with my Dallas Airmotive team and also my team at Frontiers of Flight. The other museum I just spoke at was at the Intrepid Air, Sea, and Space Museum, and they're on the big aircraft carrier there on the Hudson. And I went to their Kids Week presentation, did a couple talks, and gosh, it's just so much fun. I'm the luckiest girl in the world right now. I get to fly around and, you know, tell people to go out there and pursue their biggest dream.
Oh my goodness! And women aviators that are like that have been. I know at that Women's in Aviation conference, you have some of the women that have been in aviation maybe all the way back to the 60s or something. Who are some of the women you've met there this trip of that or past WIA conferences that, you know, are accomplished pilots in their own right?
Oh, so many. Jessica Ambatz comes to mind. She's an incredible aviation photographer. She shoots for all the different flying magazines out there. My friend Chelsea Abingdon Welch, she created a watch company that's all about women's navigational aviation watches. And she's a pilot. She does ferry flights all across the Pacific Ocean, starting here from the States and makes her way out west delivering aircraft, but then has this beautiful watch company where girls can go and get an aviation watch that has navigational technology on it, but also has a beautiful look to it. So, I mean, women like that are so multifaceted, they're not just flying airplanes. They're out there running businesses, and they're inspiring other girls to get out there and try it. You know, you don't have to do just one thing with your life. You can get out and do as much as you want.
Well, there we go. That's a good way to wrap it up, and thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on Alive to Thrive today. And we look forward to continue telling people about you, your project with the Fly with Amelia Foundation, the nonprofit organization that grants flight training scholarships to young women age 16 to 18. People can support that. Again, we want to just say donate by texting 7177. That's the number you want to text to, 71777. The word Amelia, and Amelia Rose Earhart will be in St. Louis on Saturday, March 14th with the St. Louis Flight Instructors Association. You can go to their website to get tickets or learn more about her first-time visit here to St. Louis. So thank you so much again, and I look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks in person.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. Next week, we have other interesting women coming up this month on Alive to Thrive. So stay with us every Friday from 12 to 1 Central Time. Please tell your friends and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/AliveToThrive. Thanks, everyone. Have a fabulous weekend and happy Women's History Month.
like the window closes so, so quick. Hopelessly, I'm taking a mental picture of you now. Cause hopelessly, the hopeless we have so much to feel good about. Oh, it's gotta be the good life. It's gotta be the good life. Cause it's really be a good life, good life. I say, oh, there's to complain about.